Amen. I encourage you, come expecting. You might be a guest today, but God still has something for you today. I truly believe with all my heart that anytime we come into a corporate setting or even spending time with God in our own personal time, that there's something that the Lord wants to bring to us for us to receive, regardless of who you are, where you're at it in the rhythm and journey of your life. Amen? Amen. And so I encourage you to be open and expecting, because why go to church just to go? Have you ever thought about that? Why go to church just to go? Do you think God's going to really get up there and say, I'm so impressed you went to church? I don't know why I said that. Just kidding. It's needed. Well, and don't get me wrong. We want you to come to church. I mean, otherwise, I'd be lonely right now. Talking to myself. No, but it's just not a matter of coming, but coming to receive. Amen. Just to experience God between you and him. All right, open your Bibles to Proverbs 3. We'll see that didn't go too far, so let's try something different. Proverbs 3 is our key scripture for this brand new series. I'm excited about this. We've been working on this, finding the mind of God for the 2012, the start for the year, and this whole concept, run to God. And that was me in my earlier days when I used to run in that video. I'm just seeing if you're listening to me. Run to God. Proverbs 3, in the Message translation, you can look at it on the screen, says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one that will keep you on track. I like that right there. Let me read that again. He's the one that will keep you on track. Man, we mess around a lot of times, not to go down this road too far, but in life, we can spend way too much energy just trying to make ourselves stay on track, not realizing that we can do something that allows God to keep us on track. Come on, somebody. All right, moving on. Don't assume that you know it all. Ooh, that could preach. And but do what? Run to God. Say, run to God.
Run to God.
Run from evil. Run to God. Say, run to God.
Run to God.
One more time. Say, run to God. We know in the context of James, and if you've been in the church world for any length of time, we've all heard that. King's English, James says, draw near, or King's English says, draw nigh. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, right? I want you to notice something. If you have your Bibles, also turn to Hebrews 12. We referenced it in the first service, so we'll reference it in the second one. Hebrews 12. Let me go ahead and turn to it. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing about, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I want you to know that in the race of life, not just the devil, but life in general will try to get you in sin and get you weighed down. Because if you're carrying a lot of extra weight, you cannot run effectively. If you ever had watched marathon runners or people that run track and field, they give a lot of attention to how much things weigh. They give a lot of attention to the weight of their shoes, to the weight of their clothes, because they get down to the ounces. You and I, we probably wouldn't care, you know what I mean, because we don't run that often, and we could, you know, we don't know any better, but they're at a level that even the minor things, the minor ounces make a difference to victory or to failure. There's things in our lives, just not sin. And sin is part of that. Just not sin, but even weights. Things that will weigh us down, keep us from being effective, keep us from being successful. And I want you to know that God wants you to be successful. Let me just attack a little religious thought here for a second. God gets no glory, according to the Bible, God gets no glory out of your failure, out of your sickness, out of your defeat, out of poverty. God gets no glory. Religion, and I'm not into religion. If you're a guest with this, I define religion as man's rules to get to God. It won't happen. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. Religion will tell you that if you're sick, God can get glory. Or he'll put cancer on you so he gets glory. That's not in the Bible. My Bible says that he took those sicknesses. By his stripes, we were healed. He took all that upon himself. He took that upon himself. Why? So that we could come into his image, so that we could be victorious in life. Psalms 1 says that we're to be trees planted by the rivers of water, and that we produce our fruit in its season. And whatsoever we touch is prosperous. Successful. 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 God wants you to be successful. John chapter 15, verse 17 and 16 talks about God wanting you to produce much fruit. And this is what gives glory to your Heavenly Father, that you produce much fruit. Your victories, the production of God in your life that not only affects you internally, but what he is doing in you, but what he can do through you. Those victories are what gives your Heavenly Father glory. Not your defeats. I don't know who I'm talking to. Not your defeats. See, if the devil can get you and convince you that God gets glory when you got cancer, that God gets glory out of your sickness, that God gets glory out of your pain and poverty, then why should you work? Why should you go to the doctor? If you truly believed it, why don't you give God all the glory and slowly die and go without? That's because you know deep within yourself that that is not of God. God's word, and that's what you have to follow. God's word. God's word says that he wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be successful. That everything you put your hands to is blessed. That doesn't mean that you have to be a billionaire. I believe you can define financial success that you're able to do all that God wants you to do and help somebody else. You're able to pay your bills, fulfill your ministry, and help somebody else. Whatever that amount be, that's between you and Jesus. We have to quit creating a template that says it is for everybody. We have to quit creating some type of standard that says this is for everybody in the body. How do you tell your heart that it has to live to the same standard as your liver? We are all part of the body of Christ. Now, maybe it's the design and desire of the Father for someone to be a millionaire or a billionaire. And if that's you in this house, I applaud it. Woohoo! Bring your tithe. Thank you, Jesus. Because we can use that money to make a difference. I mean, offering's over, so I can just talk straight with you. Your offering, and it allows us to reach people. I learned from one of the books of Kenneth Hagin that, you know, I mean, as pastors, we have to keep that balance because we need money to reach people. But in an effort to make a difference in the lives of people, to see them get saved, healed, and delivered, if we don't keep it in balance, we'll go after money. You can't go after money. You go after money, and all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself doing things you wish you would have never done. You might need money to do what God's called you to do, but you don't go after money. Come on, somebody. God wants you blessed. He don't mind you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you. We have to learn to pack light. We have to learn that God is the only thing that should be sacred in our lives. That we can't allow material possessions or anything to keep us away from God. Where were we? The weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Isn't that amazing? No matter who you are. Sin or weights can easily beset us, but you can let them go. I said, you can let them go. We talked about that last week. That a lot of times the devil's mindset is to get you to think that sin has you. No, the sin doesn't have you. You have it. Don't you see that the enemy works in darkness? When light is shined, truth is revealed and the devil is defeated as long as he's in darkness. And so one of his tactics is to misdirect your attention. Because if you don't see that it's him, he is safe. But if all of a sudden you realize it's him or what's happening, and this week as I was meditating on that, the Lord dropped this illustration because it's like a snake. We're fighting, trying to keep the snake from biting us with our right hand. Dodging and fighting. Oh, I wish that snake would leave me alone. Not realizing with our left hand, say with my left hand, See, with our left hand, we're hanging on to the tail of the snake. We have it. It really don't have us. But if the devil can keep your attention toward the head, trying to defend yourself from it, then you won't think that you won't realize that you're really holding the snake with the other hand. Because if you realize you're the one holding the snake, then you can realize you can let it go. And if you let it go, then he's not even close to you to bite you. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I just don't know if I believe that. Then God's word's not true. Then God's word's not true. Why would I say that? Because it just said in that scripture to lay aside not only the weights, but the sins. If you didn't have the ability to lay the sin aside, if the sin had you, then you couldn't lay it down. See, the devil will tell you, I got you. I'll never let you go. You're in bondage. That addiction, no one can break that crack cocaine addiction. I got you. You'll never break. No. You, see, I'm speaking to somebody right now. That addiction don't have you. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus said the devil is the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. And when the voice, you know, they say crack addiction, that crack has a voice. When that voice starts speaking to you and say, you'll never be free. I own you. You ought to smile. You ought to laugh because he's a liar. He don't own you. You're free. You say, I don't feel free. Well, who said you have to go by what you feel?
Come on.
See, faith is moved by what the word of God says, not by what you feel, hear, or see. Are you with me? I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody that you've been struggling. You thought it was secret. You thought nobody knew. Jesus is right there with you every time you took a hit. I'm telling you. But and that voice of that addiction said, I got you. You'll never get free. I'm here to tell you he's a liar. He doesn't have you. You have it. And once you realize you're the one holding on to him, then now you realize you can let it go. Because where the light, when the light shows up, darkness has to flee. And I call you free in the name of Jesus. I set you free in the name of Jesus. I'm so glad we don't go to a church that just tries to get you in and get you out. But we're following the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling, I'm setting somebody, I set you free, whoever you are. I set you free in the name of Jesus. Free from that addiction that's been held onto you for over 20 years. I don't know who you, I set you free in the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? I'm talking to that demon. You are defeated. You have no right, and you have no power. Let me tell you what the devil says when Jesus shows up. Have you come to torment us before the time? That's what they said. Jesus showed up, and they started screaming out of that guy. Have you come to torment us? They didn't say, we're going to fight you. They knew they were defeated. They knew they were defeated when he showed up. And I call, close your eyes, bow your head. In the name of Jesus, Father God, whoever I'm speaking to, by the power and the authority of that name, in the name of Jesus, I call that demon out of that person's life and I set them free. I shine the light of God's truth into their life and I set them free from that crack addiction. They will no longer be tempted or controlled by that spirit. Satan, you're a liar. And I break that hold off them and I break it off their mind. I break it off their body. I break it off their system. I break it out of their spirit and I set them free. And the word of God says, for whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, if you receive that, just give the Lord a hand clap of praise, wherever you are. Make no question, I have not come just to teach you. I've come to impart into you what God is doing. I'm telling you, God's moving. It's going to be a great year. Motion and movement. Remember, if you were here last week, motion and movement. God is, things are happening. Things are moving. You cannot, will not stay the same unless you just absolutely want to. Amen. And so we noticed here, wherefore seeing about compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice, God has a race for us all to run. He wants us to run it in victory. He wants us to be successful in it. Paul says, run the race as to win. Some Christians think it's just good enough to be in the race. No, God wants you to win the race. God wants you to win the race. He wants you to be successful in it. Do you remember the time when Jesus was walking and he was hungry and he saw a fig tree from afar off? And he approached that fig tree, expecting it to have figs because he saw the tree and the leaves. And he said when he got there that he noticed that there was no figs. And so that which appeared to be doing something was not doing anything, was not producing. And we know that from our own Bible study time, and maybe you've heard this taught before, that we know that Jesus cursed the tree, it went away, and then they came back and the disciples were amazed. Because when they came back, the tree was withered and was dying from the inside out. And they said, Lord, look at that tree you've cursed. It's now withered. And Jesus used this illustration to teach them about faith. Now, for years, I always thought that Jesus kind of looked at that tree and said, I curse you. I command you to wither up and die. But that's not what he said to the tree. Did you hear me? Stick with me. That's not what he said to the tree. He said to the tree, you will never, catch this, you will never produce figs again. See, he didn't curse the tree in the sense of saying, I command you to die. What did he do? He stopped the tree from ever doing what it was designed to do by God. He stopped the tree's ability to produce. He stopped the tree's ability to produce. He stopped the tree's ability to produce based on its own DNA. It was a fig tree. It was designed by its DNA to produce figs. And Jesus said, no longer will you be able to produce. And when it stopped producing, it started withering. When it stopped producing, it started to die from the inside out. Why do some Christians come to church, but they are withering from the inside out? It's not because they aren't going to church. It's because they stopped producing after the spiritual DNA that God called them to produce. See, the rhythm of life, the dynamic living of John 10:10 that Jesus calls us to have, because he said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And it's all about running the race that God has called you to run. Not somebody else's race. God didn't call you to compete and compare to other Christians. You're not to look at your life and say, well, I'm a little better than them, but not as good as them. No, no, no. You're not running their race. You need to run your race. And it's not a race that you decide. It's a race that you discover. It's the race that God created that he brings before you, not behind you. See, if you keep focusing on where you've been, you'll miss out on what's in front of you. Because God is bringing you a race in 2012. God's giving you an assignment. God's giving you a directive. God's giving you a road to walk. And you will wither up and die if you don't produce the results that he's designed for you to produce. Doesn't mean you'll die physically. But all of a sudden you'll be like, you know what? I'm doing all the right things, but I'm just, I'm drying up on the inside. Maybe I need to change churches. Maybe I need to change this. Maybe you need to begin to start producing what God's designed you to produce. Maybe you need to start running the race that is set. Well, all my friends run this race. That might be true. But that doesn't mean it's you. You need to start producing, start running the race that God's designed for you to run. And when you do that, run to win. Run to win. Run, not just to be in it, run to win. Because your Father gets glory out of your victory. Your victories are a billboard. They are a platform that declares the goodness of God to a dark generation. Letting your light shine, just not to those who are around you to benefit in the house, but also to those who are far from you, so that they don't even know you, but there's a story that's being told about you. Not just gossip of, can you believe what they did? But they'll hear stories of the goodness of God operating in and through your life. And so when the enemy tries to come, steal, kill, and destroy, you rise up and say, here's another story that God's going to get credit, because I'm not going to embrace what the enemy's doing. I'm going to stand strong and run the race that God's called me to run to produce the victory in my life by faith, according to the word of God, by the power of God, so that those who are behind me in the race will know that they too can experience God for themselves. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap. But before we run for God, because that's a rhythm of living for God. Dynamic living is not living for yourself. It's living for God, living for Jesus, living for Jesus, living for Jesus. You would think that that would be second nature for everybody who goes to church and everybody who calls themselves Christians, but you can be in church so long that you forget the reality of the basics. It's about living for Jesus. It's not about living for yourself. It's about living for Jesus. Jesus said that those who try to live their lives heaping everything toward themselves die, but those who give up their lives for me and the gospel's sake shall find true life. It's living for Jesus. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Because we can make the church like a spiritual smorgasbord, and you go around sampling every church to church to church to church trying to find which one tickles your ears. And I'm telling you, if you find a church that just tickles your ears, you need to run from it, because the Bible says in the last days that those churches have no power and God does not honor those churches. Though they, based on, forget about what you're measuring as a success or a failure. I'm telling you, the churches that only tickle ears will be ones that do not make it. You need to find where God wants you to be. Did you hear me? I want you to listen to my heart, because I fear God more than I fear you. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes. You find out where God wants you, even in your walk with God in your local church. You find out where God wants you. It might be here. If it's here, we open our arms. We love to have you. But it might not be here. I knew that would get a little clap and shout. It might not be here. It might not be here. Why would I say that? Because the reality is you have to find where God wants you. If it's here, then you need to be here. You don't hear many pastors say that. They say, if you can breathe, you can walk, you can give, you can serve, come on in. We'll make room for everybody, but it's not everybody's called to be here. You got to find where God wants you. You got to run the race. I know some of you are shaking. Why did he just say that? Because my priority is to obey the will of the Father and to build the kingdom of God. And I'm not trying to build my kingdom. I'm trying to build the kingdom of God. Do you hear me? And so you need to run the race. Say, run the race.
Run the race.
So we need to be in the rhythm of running for God. I mean, if we can get that down into our lives, that'll affect how we give. That'll affect how we serve. Because it's a human tendency. It's easy as a weight. First, evaluate everything to what's in it for me. What's in it for me? What do you mean, what's in it for you? Well, before I give, what's in it for me? Think about that. If we're not careful in the church world, we have trained the body of Christ to have the mindset to ask the question, what's in it for you? You can't even watch people on TV without them trying to con you out of money. And to con you, they try to offer you something you do not have to make it dangle something shiny before you and say, if you give $1,000, God will get you out of debt in 30 days. What are we doing? Does God reward those who give? Absolutely. Did you hear me? Absolutely. When you run to God, is he going to reward you? Absolutely. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But if everything you start off with is what's in it for me, then you are starting off with the wrong mindset. And I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming the pastors. I'm blaming the church world. We have created in some people's minds the wrong attitude, and they think they're being spiritual because they measure everything. Well, if I'm going to give my tithe and offering, what's in it for me? Well, God will reward you, but if you only get it for the reward, you'll never make it. Well, if I serve, what's in it for me? If I read my Bible, what's in it for me? If everything's what's in it for me, then you are living for yourself. You're not running God's race, you're running your race. I love you. At least you know now. Now you can walk out of here and say, "Woo! I'm so happy. At least I know where I'm at. I'm running my race." Go at it, we'll applaud, we'll cheer the whole time, but don't expect it to be what you think it's going to be when you get to the end of the race.
Come on.
Running God's race doesn't mean you suffer. We've talked about that. Running God's race doesn't mean you're hurting. Running God's race doesn't mean you're sick and poor. That's running the devil's race. But running God's race means you choose him over anything else. Did you hear me? You choose him over anything else. Because you can draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And God can answer your prayers. And in 2012, if every prayer you ever prayed gets answered in 2012, if everything you ever wanted and wished and hoped for happens in 2012, if you get everything your heart's desire in 2012 but miss him, you've lost this year. Now there's a balance. There's a balance. Because in the church world, they do pendulum swings of extremes. And people say, all we need is Jesus. And so they suffer in sickness and pain and poverty. No, no, that's not what God wants. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff having you. If our pursuit toward God, if we run to God to get what's in his hand, we will miss out on the greatest things that our Heavenly Father has for us. Because as great as his gifts are, and he wants you to have them, because he's a good Heavenly Father, and it's desires of his heart to bless his children. Jesus said, if you which are evil know how to do good things for your children, how much more the Heavenly Father? It's the desire of your Father to do good things for you. But if all you go for is the things, you're going to miss out. Because greater than the gifts is the giver. And you can have them both. I want them both. Priority, I want to know him. The Bible says those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. See, well, there's a lot of benefits to knowing Jesus, right? There's a lot of benefits, but I don't want to run to Jesus because I'm trying to get something from him. I want to run to Jesus because I want to know him better. And in knowing him better, that means more healing, more power, more peace, more joy, more blessing, more opportunities. But that's not the motivation. It's a fine balance, is there not? It's a fine balance. You got to make sure you don't go to either extreme. Does God want to reward you? Absolutely. Does God want you to be happy? Absolutely. Does he want you to be fulfilled? Absolutely. God wants you to have those things. That's part of being a child of God. But he doesn't want you to pursue those things. He wants you to pursue him. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added unto you. Do you see how the Bible all intertwines this? So in closing, one of our key things that we've done over the years is usually in January, a lot of churches do this, so this is not by any stretch of the imagination, totally unique. But one of the things that most churches do in January, there's always a big push for spiritual growth, encouraging people to grow closer, to pursue God, to go deeper with the things of God. Last couple of years, we've done things like Deep. Do you remember that? And the whole idea was, regardless of where you are in your walk with God, because as a pastor, I realized with all the people here and just this is one service, none of you are probably at the exact same place in your relationship with Jesus. And it would be foolish of me as a pastor to address you all as the exact same place or to expect from you the exact same thing. As it would be for a parent who has several children or a grandparent who has a lot of grandkids, some are infants, some are toddlers, some are in grade school, some in high school, to expect the same out of all of them. You grow. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for progress. So in the last few years, we've challenged you to wherever you're at in your walk with God, let's take a period of time and just stretch ourselves to go a little farther, just a little bit farther, right? This year, in finding the mind of God for this year, the Lord placed literally on my heart, and I told the first service, if all this different series, the devil has tried to wrestle with me on this one, even waking me up last night about 3 a.m, trying to talk me out of this, trying to water me down in my approach. And you know, you don't think too clear at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Almost had me convinced, literally, of changing this direction of this series. Until I woke up and I thought, what was I thinking? God is my witness. What was I thinking? But what the word of the Lord dropped in my heart for this series, we have never done before. So I want you to understand, this is not like things we've done before. Because we've encouraged you to go a little farther. In this series, 4 Sundays, 21 days, I want to challenge you. I encourage you to write this down. For the next 21 days, here's our challenge, a corporate challenge. My wife and I are doing, we're challenging everybody to do it. We're not challenging you to go farther than you currently are in your walk with God. But here's what God placed on my heart to challenge you. I challenge you to go farther than you have ever been in your walk with God. Now, if you just got saved, it might not make a major deal. For some of you have been saved for a while, you're thinking, oh my goodness. And even for myself, when I begin to process what that meant, because I'm not here to tell you, all right, I want everybody to pray X amount of time, or I want everybody to read X amount of chapters, or it could be fasting, prayer, so whatever God tells you to do, okay? But to pursue God by going farther, taking it to an extreme. We're not going to draw near to God. We're going to run to God. Taking to the extreme. You know, the Bible tells us not to compete and compare against other people. It's a false balance. God does not want you to look at yourself and say, oh, I'm better than that person. I'm worse than that person. But it is a good thing to compete and compare within yourself. That's called judging yourself. And I want you to do an evaluation between you and you and God in your own time and say, all right, Lord, what do I need to do? And for 21 days, I want you to take it to the extreme. Whatever you've been in your walk with God, based on how much you've prayed, how much you've read the Bible, whatever it might be, don't take it a little farther than you currently are. Let's take it a little farther than you have ever been. Man, the devil woke me up again at 3 o'clock this morning saying, you don't want to do that to people. They got families, they got responsibilities. Yeah, that sounds right. But I'm telling you, if you sow time into the things of God, God's going to give you time back. And when I first started looking at this, I thought, I'll be honest with you, it kind of intimidated me, for me personally, because I'm challenging myself. Intimidated, a little over. I thought, God, how? But I want you to be in that place where you feel a little overwhelmed and think, there's no way. Because then at that point, I want you to say, God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me do this. Because just not trusting God in the return, we need to trust God in the investment. We're going somewhere. I'm telling you, we are going. Some of you will be like, I'm in. And at the end of the 21 days, you'll be like, my life has been so changed. Some of you might be like, I don't want to do it. At the end of 21 days, you're thinking, why didn't I do it? Well, I'll do it later. There's something about doing a corporate coming together. Let me close with this verse. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing means investing. This is 21 days of extreme investment into your faith and walk with God. 1 John tells us this is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith. I'm telling you, if we spend 21 days and take it to a radical extreme level of what we are investing into our personal walk with God, I'm telling you, when you run to God, he's going to run to you, and I'm expecting some radical extreme results in your life. For some, there's things that you maybe struggled with for years that all of a sudden just fall apart, crumble before you. Doors that were locked all of a sudden open up. People that hinder to resist you disappear. Not saying you're going to kill him, by the way. So that's not a ministry we have around here. Ministry we prayed about, but it didn't pan out. But I'm telling you, I'm truly with all my heart believing that this is a God plan that's before us. That if we'll say, you know what, Lord, whatever it is, it's going to be different for every person. It's between you and Jesus. And I'm not calling you saying, "Have you? Where are you at today?" We're not going to follow up. This is between you and God. But I promise you from the word of God, if you invest more than before, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always had. But if you invest more than you've ever invested in your personal walk with God, through reading the Bible, speaking the word with faith confessions, worshiping God, fasting, praying, and whatever, I'll let this between you and Jesus. I'm not going to tell you what to do or how to do it. But if you take it to the extreme, we can expect extreme results from God. And not with the priority of, God, I'm coming to get what's out of in your hands. Because we have to keep the whole perspective. It's about so that we can know him. Make the priority that I'm coming, God, to read the Bible, and I'm wanting to experience your presence. Oh, we have had some amazing moments in this house with God's presence. Can you imagine it being more intense in your own home? As you begin to pursue him. 21-day challenge. 21-day challenge. 21-day challenge. Amen? Amen. So that's either going to freak you out and you're going to run for the hills. Well, you'll be back next week saying, I'm in this thing. I want to see what God's going to do. I want to spark your curiosity, because there is so much more to God than you've experienced. So much more. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.